podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate Anime. Loot Crate has teamed up with Crunchyroll to bring you amazing toys, apparel, and other cool collectibles from your favorite anime and manga. To subscribe, just go to lootcrate.com/animeamerica and use the code animeamerica to get $3 off your first subscription.
I guess I'm back. Yay!
Hey, Megan.
We kidnapped her from the other podcast she's doing.
we're in an off period right now. We finally finished up so many shows from fall. But yeah, I'm back. I've been a little busy with life. The last couple months, I traveled to another out-of-state convention in November, and then the holidays came, and I got a different position at my job, so I've basically been working really hard the last couple of months, but I'm back for you guys, and I'm so happy.
It's nice to have you back, and also nice to meet you. I'm meeting you for the first time.
Yeah, really, it is nice to meet you, too. I have not got to meet you through computer things yet. I would say in person, but that hasn't happened yet.
It might have, because I think that we were at the same convention a few months ago. Yomacon.
Which one? Wait, you were?
Yeah, I was. I don't know if I like walked past you or anything.
Wait, the hell? Wait. Were you at any of the signings?
I was at the Team 4-Star booth when they
Wait,
were doing
Wait, you were?
Yes, but I chickened out, like, when I was next in line and walked away.
Oh no!
Because I'm an awkward, shy babby.
Oh no, it's okay. I wish I'd known you would have gone. I wish they would have told me. I'll ask you later, but let's just get back on track. Sorry, Tara! I'll ask you afterwards,
that's
okay?
Right. Yeah, because I think it's really cool that, like, we could have met without knowing. Possibly.
Well, hopefully. Like, walk past each other. I might go back up there again, but I don't think I can go back this year because I have to go to a wedding, and that's, like, eating the last of my vacation time. But, in
so
other news...
What you've been up to?
Other than going to Yomacon and getting horribly sick afterwards, I have a P.O. box, so you can mail me things that
aren't
drugs.
Yeah, send Megan stuff.
That aren't drugs. Please don't send me drugs.
We have to say that for legal purposes.
No, please really don't send me drugs. I don't want to get arrested by the post office. Like,
it's okay.
I don't want to die
you said,
in jail.
Don't send her drugs. Wink.
Don't send me drugs. I do not want to end up at the prison from Nanbaka. But you can send me mail to P.O. Box 1864 in Lando Lakes, which is three words, LAN space O space Lakes, Florida 34639. And just everybody get it out of their system that I live in LOL, Florida.
So you live in Butter? You
yes,
live in Land O'Lakes
Butter? I live
Butter?
In Butter. It's actually the town in Wisconsin. We're a different town completely.
Okay.
Buttertown.
Oh. Buttertown. So what's up? What are we talking about today? I don't have the articles up.
I have them up. So the first article that we're going to talk about today, and this one comes from the Anime News Network, English animator Oda King previews 20-minute Street Fighter fan film. Paul Oda King Johnson, an English animator who creates retro-styled retro anime-style 2D animation films, announced on Saturday that he has launched a Patreon campaign to cover his living expenses and allow him to focus on his current projects. He began to streaming two videos to announce the campaign and has previewed his planned 20-minute Street Fighter fan film.
Hello there, I'm Paul Johnson. I'm a one-man animator, and here's some of my stuff. You might even have seen some of it, actually. For the past few years, I've been doing professional 2D animation work full-time, and making stuff like this Star Wars short that you can see in the background here in what little spare time that I have. This one was 7 minutes long, and it took me 4 years of weekends to make. One reason for that is that I'm a big fan of the golden age of Japanese animation, you know, back in the 1980s. And I'm always trying to bring that same level of detail and color and shading that we got back then that kind of has disappeared now. Anyway, long story short, my latest job contract has just finished, so now I've got infinite time, literally infinite time, but literally no money. So basically, the idea is, you throw me $1 a month, and then I work for you. So if you guys can cover my rent and keep me in cheap ham sandwiches, then I'll make the most obscenely detailed and fluidly animated films that I can, and then just stick them all up on YouTube for free for everyone to watch. So in this system, since you guys are basically my producers, you get your names in the credits, you get to see the stuff early, you get the raw animation files and animation roughs and background PSD files to the Patreon page, and you can just grab them and, you know, dissect them, look at them, do whatever you like. Currently I'm working on a 20-minute Street Fighter fan film. I've put all the footage up that I've done so far at the end of this video, if you want to have a look. It doesn't have Ryu and Ken in it, it's all about M. Bison. Could be something you're interested in, especially if you're a fan of the 90s anime movie. I've also got pre-production character designs, environments, spaceship designs, all of that kind of stuff done. For a full-length original animated film that I'd like to work on, the script is in progress, it's on the way. It's a realistic sort of space Vietnam mecha film, kind of like Generation Kill with mechs, if you saw Generation Kill.
The first video introduces Johnson and his projects and features a clip on his progress of the Street Fighter project, while the second video isolates just the clip. Johnson describes the Street Fighter project as this: my current project is a 20-minute fan film based on the Street Fighter video game series, in a similar vein to the 1994 animated film. As with my previous projects, this will be painstakingly researched and detailed to source material, but also feature an added gritty no-plot armor angle, which raises the stakes and makes the glorious villain of M. Bison more dangerous than ever, as the classic cast members Guile and Cammy, with plenty of armed backup, team up with new fan favorite Juri to kill the game's most iconic end boss. It'll essentially be an exercise in over-the-top fighting animation, where I see just how much scenery I can destroy.
It's really cool. I watched it, and he loves the old anime style of the 90s. So everything he animates has that old, very detailed, cel-shaded, like classic look. I'm going to put it up on the YouTube version of the podcast. I'm going to have some cool clips of what he's done. And he said in the video that he will, basically, you can pay him to animate. So if you pay a certain amount of money and you make a request, he'll animate what you want.
Whoa.
I think that's awesome. You can pay somebody who's a real good animator to just whatever it is you want them to animate.
I'm watching his preview right now, and wow, this is actually really great.
Yeah. So, anybody listening, all you anime Americans, if you ever wanted an anime of yourself or something you did, you could pay this guy. I wish I had money for us, because I'd pay him to do a little Anime America action intro with all of us, like, kung-fuing each other or something.
Oh my god.
I'm just rolling around on the floor crying. That's my attack. That's my superpower. It's just crying.
I'm an ankle biter, because I'm too short and small to be any kind of a threat.
I'll just pick you up and throw you at someone's face.
Oh my god.
I always tell everyone, you hit him high, I hit him low.
Except for the only tall person in all of Anime America is Brendan. Like, we're all pretty tiny people. I'm like a potato person.
I'm 5'1", so like, I'm really short.
I'm a hairy bean.
Oh god, that would be really cool though. Like, it says that he's so far out of his $609 a month goal, he's got the $408, so he's about $200 short. And it says that the funds raised will cover Johnson's rent, basic groceries, internet, water, heating bill, and council tax. My guess is that he lives somewhere where his apartment has an extra tax. If the campaign surpasses his goals, Johnson may use the funds to hire additional staff for the project and update hardware and software. Patrons of the campaign will see their name in the end credit for each project, Photoshop backgrounds, TV, paint animation files, rough gifts, and exclusive live streams. Which is pretty neat because Patreon's really weird in that you can actually adjust each month what you're sending, and there's different tiers. I know we have our own Patreon that we encourage you guys, if you want to support the production, to use.
Yes, I'm going to put the link to that up. Because I think a lot of times we say, hey, go to our Patreon page, but we don't really put it up in the video to make it easy, or, you know, here's the link or something.
I think we should remind people about the Patreon more regularly and always link to it.
Yes.
Please support our Patreon. Please support us getting to do work.
Yeah, because we're poor and we're doing all this for free, and now we're having to do daily content, which
Thanks, YouTube.
Oh, man. It makes... By the way, that's why the podcast has been 2 weeks, and now we're going to be doing the podcast bi-weekly now, because I don't have time to do daily content and do a YouTube podcast every day, every week.
I'll also be joining in on daily content.
Yes.
Relatively soon.
I'll be joining him in the audio department, but having to give it to people because my laptop is crap.
Yeah, hopefully, I think we're transitioning right now where we've got our team, everybody's doing what they're good at or whatever. We're beginning to work better as a team and delegate to each other, and I think here in a month or so, we're going to have a good groove. We already started getting a good groove to where it started out in December where I was doing the hot topics and daily videos. But now there's three of us doing them, and then pretty soon Tara's going to give Robin a break from having to do all of them. And I think Shannon she did one.
I am the entire research department. I think we shouldn't go into too much detail about what's going on behind the scenes, though.
There's a new, easier, quicker way of animating that we're gonna do soon, but I don't know when because daily content threw everything out of whack.
Thanks,
so,
YouTube. And by thanks,
we'll figure it out.
Frick.
Frick
YouTube.
No. The YouTube warriors might come after us.
Frick. I swear like a sailor, like, all the time, by the way, so...
I try...
Yeah.
I do, too. I try not to during podcasts, but...
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Like, they joke on Dub Talk that if we ever do a panel at a con, they're just gonna put a swear jar for me, just so that I don't break the PG-13 rule. Like, if we would have gotten a panel at Yomacon... or at least if all of us would have gotten a panel at Yomacon, they were gonna give me a swear jar. Because I can't stop cursing.
I think that's... All of us on Anime America have a problem with that.
I swear, like a sailor, it's so unladylike. My mom's like, that's so unladylike.
I use the F word as kind of like a filler word. I'm very, very bad about that.
The F word is like my salt, the salt of my language, and my language is salty. Like,
That was great. That was good.
to sum up my life in a picture, my friend has this whenever I get angry on Twitter, is he just has this screen cap from like the last episode of Seraph of the End, and all it says is all these flavors and you choose to be salty. And whenever I'm up, like whenever I've I'm getting angry, he just sends it to me. And then whenever I'm sad, he just sends me, I don't know if Brad got to watch it, but Tara, have you ever watched My Hero Academia?
Yes.
You know the scene where Deku's crying in front of the computer screen as a child?
And he's, like, banging his head?
No, not when he's banging, that's when he's happy. No, it's, when he's sad and it's all dark and he's, like, pointing at it and crying. So,
oh, yeah.
My friend has found a version where the image of All Might has been photoshopped out. And instead has been photoshopped in a picture of you and Mika from Seraph of the End. And he just sends it to me whenever I'm upset. And he's like, Megan, cheer up. And I'm like, I hate you so much for this. And all he wants is a Yuri on Ice one for me.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, why haven't you done it yet, you lazy piece of crap? And he's like, I didn't make this. And I was like, you made one of the Bowser memes. You can make me this. Get on it, Andrew.
All right.
Oh my gosh. The more Yuri on Ice memes, the better.
The more Yuri on Ice, the better.
Let's get on.
Oh yeah.
Unless you're a fan of the Crunchyroll Anime Awards, then you're not. Then you're like, no
more.
I love you, Miles. Don't hate me. Speaking of things that stream,
I have to piss. Oh no.
Do you need to pee, Brad?
No, you said stream, and then sorry. Oh.
Stream. Speaking of streaming things, Amazon US launches Amazon Strike paid streaming services. Okay, there is an interview at the bottom, but I'm not going to read it. Amazon USA has launched the Anime Strike streaming service on Thursday January 2nd, 2017. As its first branded on-demand subscription service, the paid service offers more than 1,000 television, anime episodes, and film to Amazon Prime members in the United States. The service costs $4.99 a month and has a 7-day free trial. Anime Strike streaming anime are ad-free, and Amazon plans to update the channel every week. Some of the anime are streaming with English subtitles, and some are available with an English dub. The service is in Amazon's newest line of about 100 Amazon channels. Amazon holds the exclusive rights to stream anime such as Cheese, Sweet Adventure, Onihei, The Great Passage, Vivid Strike, Shin-Chan Spinoff Volume 1, Aliens vs. Shinosuke, and Scum's Wish on the service in the United States. Amazon USA posted the placeholder pages for its anime on Amazon Prime Video services earlier this week. The streaming service is streaming episodes of television anime such as Scum's Wish and Blue Exorcist Kyoto Saga. The same day as they premiere on television in Japan, Amazon Strike is also streaming a variety of older anime titles such as Akira, Paprika, Akame ga Kill, Batum, and Death Note. And then it's in...
Then there's a bunch of blah blah blah
blah blah blah, blah.
So how do you feel about that?
I hate this thing. I hate this already.
Why?
All right, we got some opinions here.
I don't like this as somebody who actively, like, on her day-to-day basis, not at work, deals with streaming and that community. First of all, one, for everyone's like, oh, it's $4.99 a month. No, that's $4.99 a month on top of the almost $100 you already pay for Prime.
That's ridiculous. And you can't do it separate? Can you just pay the
$5? No, you cannot just do Strike separate.
That's
stupid. Okay, then that's a load of hooey.
And I mean, everyone's like, oh, well, in the end, it's going to toss you the same amount as a Crunchyroll or Funimation subscription over the same time. Yeah, but at the same time... I'm a person who actively keeps both subscriptions going to Funimation and Crunchyroll. Being that I watch both language tracks of things, with their partnership, If you want to watch most stuff subbed, then you only pay for Crunchyroll. If you want to watch most of your stuff dubbed, you pay just for Funimation. Or if you want them both, I believe you can pay $10 a month or $11 a month to another system called VRV, which is that plus things like Rooster Teeth, The Nerdist. You get a lot for like, which equates to it being about $121 a month, which is basically a thing of Amazon Strike plus 4 to 5 months. I've not heard good things about people who have used Strike yet as well. They've reported a lot of errors with the player. Some of the subs won't show up on their subtitled stuff, which is practically useless at that point. I find it funny also that they use Blue Exorcist when that's one of Crunchyroll's quite large acquisitions for the year to stream.
Yeah. By the way, I hate Amazon Prime. My roommate has it, and I've tried to use it. It's terrible. Go ahead.
I like Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime works very well for me. I order enough stuff online, and I like free 2-day shipping. I've used some of their video streaming service to purchase, or after I got Prime, I can just watch certain shows and movies that I like. However, at the same time, Amazon's kind of putting their fingers into too many pies, and I don't think that this is very logical for them to have a strictly anime streaming service when they already have, like, Prime movies, Prime video, stuff like that. And if there's already issues with, like, subtitles and video player function, then it's never going to take off and be able to compete with, obviously, Crunchyroll, which is the number one paid anime streaming service. And also, like, Netflix or Hulu, which also have options for anime. So it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I think they're competing with Netflix mainly, but Hulu as well.
And even then, Netflix as a streaming, Netflix for anime streaming is really wonky at best. They tend to have the rights to stuff, but they won't put it out until, like, the whole thing is done. And that really
sucks. Well, that's how they are with everything. Like, yeah, they're a season behind on everything.
And that's the thing, is that a lot of anime fans don't want to wait like that.
That's, like, why I watch on Hulu.
That's why I watch on Crunchyroll.
Yeah, that's why I watch on Crunchy and Funimation. Granted, it's not the worst service ever. It's not Daisuke. It's not Daisuke, which is, like, the worst streaming service I've ever used. I'm trying to find it here for the sake of this. If you don't follow him on Twitter, he's a really good follow. It's your friend Miles Express 999. Who is he works for Crunchyroll. He is a really good resource, and he does a really great job, and he's very passionate about his job. I am trying to find what he says what Amazon does, because Amazon, he has said, like, takes out a decent chunk and actually hurts the anime industry more than they actively help it. Which is why and I also say this too, always try to buy your stuff directly from the source or through, like, as much as they're screwing over a friend of mine right now, use somebody like Right Stuff, who does a really good job and works with the companies to distribute. I can't find it, and this is upsetting me.
By the way, Tara, the main reason that I hate Amazon Prime streaming is because at least the last time I tried to use it, I could, the interface was so clunky. Now, I wasn't using it on my computer. I was using it on the Apple TV. But, man, I couldn't, I would know something was on there and I couldn't find it. And then I would bookmark it or whatever you call it on there. And then I couldn't find it. And then I couldn't find the other, I couldn't find anything. And I knew it was on there. And the way they recommend things. And then every time, I think I found something I could watch, it would be, no, you got to pay for this. And I'm like, come on, quit confusing. Can I just go to the section that goes with Amazon Prime and not make me have to buy something? And, you know, it was just, I could never find what I wanted to find. And it drove me nuts and I hated it. But that's probably just me doing it on Apple TV and just, you know.
I have an Apple TV and it is kind of funky sometimes. So...
yeah, I just got frustrated with the interface on Apple TV. That's mainly why I don't like it. And I didn't like the selection so much. And the fact that every other time I found something I wanted to watch, it was, oh, you can pay more. But what?
Yeah, I use Amazon to, like, ship certain things that I can't get, like, through other places. The biggest concern, I think, that I have with Strike, though, as a, streaming service is that Amazon isn't really one to push the acquisitions they have. Say, like, Crunchyroll or Funimation puts a push to watch their shows on their service. Especially the fact that Amazon isn't doing something like Crunchyroll does, where, yeah, you have to wait a week for that episode, that newest episode, but you can at least watch it legally and not pirate it. And not actively hurt the anime industry. Because the thing is that Amazon is treating Anime Strike a lot like something akin to HBO in the US. To which, if you don't know, Game of Thrones is like the most pirated show there is. Which is on HBO. Which, Game of Thrones, HBO can kind of get away with it because there is a ton of money in Game of Thrones. And they're going to have a ton of money thrown at them, unlike the anime industry. So... I mean, I think he said it best with the show Kabanari of the Iron Fortress. Which, did anybody else know that Amazon had the rights for that and was streaming it last year? Like, literally one of the most anticipated shows from last year was on Amazon, but they never pushed that they had it. Like they did with their other stuff, like, Transparent or Mozart in the Jungle, like they never pushed it. And Kabanari of the Iron Fortress was like featured a lot in their anime awards, as well as, God, I'm trying to like think of the way to phrase this. Like, it was a show that a lot of people were like, oh, have you seen Kabanari of the Iron Fortress? And I'm like, yeah, where do you watch it? They're like, I pirate it. And I'm a person who doesn't do that. Like, I actively will wait for something or will go out of my way to find a legal channel to do it. Like, I'm the person who bought Full Metal Alchemist and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood out of spite because the license was expiring. Like, I'm a person who dropped, like, $100 on Love Live just so I could watch the dub. Like, I don't do that piracy crap. And even with stuff I review before it's on DVD, I actively go back and buy the show later, even if I don't like the show. Like, Servamp, I have to buy a copy of Servamp when it comes out on DVD, despite not thinking it's a very good show.
You're a good anime citizen.
Like,
I don't think it's fair, though, to necessarily blame Amazon for a piracy problem.
I do think it is a little bit fair if they're not giving a fair shake to watch the show. Because if you're putting... That's the thing with Crunchyroll, though, and, like, Funimation. You have to wait a week and you have to get through a little bit of ads, but they're still at least giving you that option. Amazon's like, no, fuck you, pay us. And their price for at minimum $105... for a library that is not even the same size as Crunchyroll or Funimation, without the option to switch between either track, I would rather suck it up and pay what I do to Funimation and Crunchyroll than pay Anime Strike. And it's hysterical because they follow me on Twitter and all I do is badmouth them.
All right, so we got about like 3 or 4 minutes. If you, Megan, did you come up with a recommendation or not?
Yeah, I did. I'm so sorry. I'm talking so much over you two. I feel bad.
No, it's okay. This is a good debate to have.
Yes.
No, I feel so bad because this is going on for so long, and when I get like super hyped up about something, I'm like, I need to speak. But this
happens all the time.
My anime recommendation is, I don't know if you guys have done this one yet. Do you guys like fantasy shows?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you like things that are funny?
Yes.
Maybe.
Has anybody else watched a show called Konosuba?
Not me.
I started it. I wasn't a big fan. But apparently it's really good, so I might give it another shake, because the second season just started.
Yeah, the second season just started, and I think I'm going to wait for it to end before I watch season 2. But I did watch all of season 1 at the recommendation of another reviewer friend of mine, and he thinks very, very highly of it. So I said, I need to give this a fair shake anyway for the anime awards. It's not a series I'm 100% a fan of, but I respect what it was doing, and I know a lot of fans would like it. It is, if you are sick and tired of people trapped in a fantasy land, like average Joe trapped in a fantasy land, this is the story of an average Joe who gets trapped in a fantasy land after he dies a horrible death and ends up taking the goddess who makes fun of him for dying with him, and she turns out to be inept as shit. And she's good at party tricks. His party consists of a splody mage who can only make an explosion once a day, and a masochistic paladin who has no character development and is the absolute worst. But this show is funny and mean-spirited, and it's so interesting that I recommend you check out Konosuba. And you can watch all of it on Crunchyroll.
Well, I'm going to have to at least check out a couple episodes, because you sold me on that elevator pitch.
At least get to the part with the flying cabbage monsters. That part was beautiful.
Okay, so now we're at the end of the show, and if you've tolerated us this long, we'll let you go now.
I'm sorry.
Hopefully this won't be the last time that we have Megan on the podcast.
Hopefully not.
Okie dokie.
Alright, so if you liked our episode and you want to support us more, you can always like and share this video, get us around, help YouTube Senpai notice us. You can also drop us a line at animeamericapodcast@gmail.com or via our Facebook page, our Twitter. If you want to follow me in particular, Megan, you can follow me at QueenEra2, which Brad should put in the link in the description, where I cry over anime, talk about dubs, and cry over anime.
Yep, and we have proof because you did the live stream of the Yuri on Ice thing.
Oh god, episode 12 in the dub wrecked me. I cried for a solid 24 minutes straight. Thank you.
Oh my god.
You can also follow the other production I'm chilling out with, Dub Talk, over at youtube.com/dubtalk, where me and a group of other nerds get together and give our thoughts on a recent announcement, a show that's got a dub that we're going into reviewing, and you can listen to us be absolute foul-mouthed, trashy trash lords who subject our one straight guy friend to absolute torture. But we also get passionate and we have a good time. We just got to 50... Wait, no, we're at 55 episodes now. We started about 2 years ago.
That's good. Sticking with it.
Yes.
What am I? I'm Balding Ewok on Twitter. That's what I am.
I'm at IzanamiVA. I talk about random occurrences in my life. I screw around with fellow abridged voice actors and whatnot, and sometimes I make YouTube videos. IzanamiVA on YouTube. I just moved houses and I'm setting up my studio, so Should be starting up again soon. I haven't died. Obviously, I'm still here.
Yay.
That's our biggest announcement, is that we're all not dead.
Yes. Yet.
Thankfully.
In the comments, I can see someone right now saying, "Ah, damn it.
Oh, damn it. Who the fuck let them live?
Why hasn't Brad died yet? They won't fire him. I wish he would die."
The YouTube trolls in the comments, "Kill yourselves."
No, they just call me a dude.
Hey, don't even worry about it. One of the first podcasts I did like 8-9 years ago, it was a bunch of guys, and it was me and a couple other guys, and somebody put in the comments in iTunes, "I hate the girl on the show."
I knew
it was me.
No.
It's like, I don't ever want to do podcasting ever again. So, we're in the same club, I guess. Where no one knows who we are based on our voice.
It's the sweary one. That's how everyone knows me as, the sweary one.
Okay. I guess that does it. Peace out, our anime peeps.
Until next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.